From the Berkshires to the Sound, from wherever you live in MLB America, this is Inside the Parker. You give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the scoop on Major League Baseball. Now here's Baseball Hall of Fame voter number 103, Rob Parker.
Welcome into the Inside the Parker podcast. I'm Rob Parker, and coming up, former Reds outfielder Eric the Red, that's right, Eric Davis is stopping by. Plus, we'll talk with Yes Network's Jack Curry about the streaking Yankees, that and so much more. Let's go.
Batter up!
To lead off, it's getting robbed.
And keep him up.
Rob's hot take on the three biggest stories in Major League Baseball. Number one.
Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred has finally come clean, I guess. He's saying now that the baseball is juiced. He's saying it without saying it. And I don't know, we've been talking about this home run thing and what pace baseball is in to shatter the home run record. It's not even close. We're watching guys hit unbelievable numbers and stacking up home runs. And he was quoted in Newsday by saying they, Rawlings, haven't changed their process in a meaningful way. They haven't changed their materials. There's two points that I would make, even in the report last year. The scientists identified the pill in the baseball, not what is actually composed of, but the centering of the pill in the baseball as something that could be a drag issue. To the extent that the pill is not perfectly centered, the ball wobbles when it hits, centers more drag. We think one of those things that may be happening is while they're getting better at centering the pill, it creates less drag. Major League Baseball is currently on a pace for 6,483 home runs this season. And let me tell you, that is huge and not even close when we always talk about the PED and the steroid era. But baseball home runs are here to stay, and I'm not complaining.
Number two.
St. Louis, Missouri is the baseball capital of the United States. Make no mistake about it. It's always been a great baseball town, but we finally got to see it on display when Albert Pujols returned with the Angels for the first time since he signed that free agent contract to join the Angels and leave St. Louis. And the reception and ovation that he got from the fans there in St. Louis was out of this world. I've been watching baseball my whole life. I can never remember a time when a former player came back and got that kind of ovation from the home team's crowd. It was incredible. And St. Louis, if you've never been, that city, all they care about is baseball. Go to a game at Busch Stadium and see everybody wearing red. And this is all you need to know on why St. Louis loves baseball. The city has run two NFL teams out of the city, the Cardinals and the Rams, and nobody batted an eye. I dare you to try to take the Cardinals baseball team out of St. Louis. You'd have problems.
Number three.
History in the making in Major League Baseball. The Yankees and the Red Sox are playing across the pond. They have a two-game series in London, Major League Baseball games that count for the very first time on June 29th and June 30th on Fox. This will be interesting. I know leagues love to flirt with putting teams in foreign lands and spreading the wealth and trying to sell jerseys and hats and all kinds of stuff and selling the game. I'm not against the Yankees and Red Sox playing in London, but let's keep the game in the United States. This will be fun to watch and make sure everybody comes back home after it's over.
Number four.
Lastly, enough with the Tampa Bay Rays maybe splitting their season and playing some games in Montreal. Ask me if I think this is a good idea. No way, no how. And I'm not some old geezer, some old guy who can't get hip with the times. Tampa Bay has failed as a baseball town. Montreal has failed as a baseball town. Why are we trying to do this? It's like the old saying, if you have two girlfriends, it means neither one is fully satisfying. We don't need to do this, baseball. Find a new home for the Rays, a place that will embrace baseball and want it. How about Portland, Oregon? How about that?
Here comes the big interview. Listen and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
Let's welcome in Eric Davis, former outfielder for a number of teams, mostly the Cincinnati Reds when they won the World Series in 1990. Two-time All-Star, three-time Gold Glove winner, and also a two-time Silver Slugger Award winner. What's up, ED? How you doing?
Man, I'm good. Good to be here. How's everything with you?
Man, loving the podcast. Glad to get you on. Eric is also currently a special assistant to the general manager for the Cincinnati Reds. And let's start with the Reds. They are playing much better. They got off to a really bad start. Looked like it was going to be a bad year. ED, what's turned around for the Reds?
Well, anytime you play good baseball, it always starts with pitching. And when DJ came in, Derek Johnson came in and revitalized what the philosophy was going to be behind pitching and some of the moves that we made, getting Tanner Roark and Sonny Gray to help stabilize our young guys and start to put some guys in some positions to have some consistency. And with Luis Castillo as our number one to SC starter, has been great all year. So it's allowed us to stay in games early and not have to really worry about our offense. And now that our offense is starting to put runs together, you're seeing a team that has a real capability of winning every night.
What about Puig? Have they embraced him in Cincinnati? You know, he was a fan favorite in L.A. Fans were disappointed when the Dodgers dealt him, but are fans loving what he's doing and you know, what he brings?
I think they have. I mean, he's had his foundation be a part of Ohio. He's moved it from L.A. to Cincinnati and going back and forth. And if you play well, anybody embraces you. If you don't play well, ain't nobody going to embrace you. So that's what it's really about.
Then no doubt about it. And obviously, you played a long time in Cincinnati from 1984 to 1991, and you guys won the World Series in 1990. What was that like? The experience, because Cincinnati's one of those great baseball towns. I always say, you look at St. Louis, you look at Boston, you look at Cincinnati, some of the great baseball towns. What was it like?
It's really almost a double-edged sword. It depends on how you take it. If you come from that organization and you play in an organization that has a lot of rich tradition, you have a tendency to get sucked up in the past more than you can the present or the future. And by the Big Red Machine, and even before the Big Red Machine, even in the early 70s when they were going to the championship, the World Series, and losing to the Orioles and those great the Oriole teams, and then even the Oakland A's teams in the early 70s that three-peated, the Reds were always there. And then when the Big Red Machine, as they turned it on, and then we followed them, you have to be able to embrace that. But sometimes you can get swallowed up in that. And tradition is tough. But it's a great baseball town, and they don't expect anything less than winning.
How about today's game? You know, the problem I have with it is it seems like it's all strikeouts or home runs. You know, you just see nothing but home runs going on. Do you like the game? It doesn't seem to be as much hit and run, stealing bases, used to steal bases. Do you like this version of baseball currently?
It's doing what it's supposed to do, I guess. Whoever tried to figure it out for it to be going this way has done a good job. The only thing that bothers me is the cliche is let them play. But we're really not playing baseball. I don't see kids sliding and getting dirty and sweating and doing all that kind of stuff. That's the fun of letting me play. I think they're confusing throwing ice on them and tearing uniforms up after the game. If you get a game winning hit and running around the field, that's what their explanation of fun is. I don't think anybody had more fun playing a game than I did. I think my era, guys were dirty every night. I mean, it was fun to break up a double play. It was fun to hit the catcher. It was fun Just the competition was fun, and it wasn't an individual thing to bring it to me. See, the fun right now is based on each individual to bring the fun to himself, and it's really not a signature of the game per se. It's an individual fun.
No doubt about it. And it's changed with the analytics. I'm not against analytics, but I think sometimes it goes too far. Last year in the World Series, the Dodgers went to the World Series and went up to Boston. And, Eric, because of analytics, their top four home run hitters didn't play at Fenway, didn't start the game. Does that make sense to you?
No, and that's probably why they was bridesmaids.
Right?
I don't have a problem with analytics. I just think it's incomplete. And the problem is the current players and the players in the past, analytics is not new, first and foremost. Data is not new,
right,
first and foremost. But at the end of the day, baseball people utilize their eyes because the data doesn't tell the whole story. I don't have a problem with data, but data is incomplete. Because it doesn't really tell everything about what decision needs to be made because how baseball changes. I don't know what that guy did last night, so I can't go about what he did 2 weeks ago. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if he slept good or if he had something wrong with him, if he was out drinking and partying all night. So your eyes don't lie, and the reason Boston won is because in crucial situations, Cora went with his instinct and with his eyes, and the Dodgers didn't.
No doubt about it. His name is Eric Davis, a.k.a. Eric the Red. Always a pleasure, my man. You know I appreciate you.
Anytime, man.
It's time for the Pocket Protector Central. The analytic numbers you need to know. Well, maybe.
FS1's Anthony Masterson is his name. BS Analytics is his game. What you got for us, Anthony?
Hi, Rob. Let's talk speed. Sprint speed, to be exact. Now, sprint speed is a StatCast metric that aims to find out how many feet per second a player runs in his fastest one-second window. That's how we want to quantify how fast a guy really is on the base pass, because it's not just about stolen bases anymore when it comes to quickness. You can see this most typically on a batter running home to first on a ground ball, or running first to third, or first to home on a base hit. According to data given by StatCast, a base runner can get about 7 full effort strides over the course of a one-second window, so a player who sustains that a high feet-per-second rate is known to be quite the burner. Now, any number higher than 30 feet per second is considered elite. And no surprise here, but the speedy center fielder for the Twins, Byron Buxton, led all base runners last season with a sprint speed of 30.5 feet per second, a mark only 8 players reached in 2018. It may also surprise you that Mike Trout, you know, the game's best all-around player, currently has an average sprint speed this season of 29.2 feet per second, ranking 22nd in all of baseball, but he's the only player in the top 25 with even 10 home runs this season. He really does do it all.
I actually like that one for a change.
And what that ball is.
It was a big week in the big leagues.
Who's up? Who's up?
I don't believe it! My, oh my!
Is it foul or is it fair? And now, here's ShadowLeague.com MLB insider, J.R. Gamble.
Shohei Ohtani's having an unbelievable year with the bat, coming into Tuesday at 9 home runs in just 36 games. So you know what all the buzz is about, whether or not he should just stick to hitting and not pitch anymore. JR, is it foul or fair making Ohtani just a hitter?
That's fair.
It's a fair ball.
While it might have been foul last year when he burst on the scene and was banging home runs and striking people out on the mound as the latest wonder from Japan, it was something that we'd never seen before. He was like the alpha and the omega. He was defying the odds. Those who said he wouldn't be a major leaguer and couldn't hit 20 bombs and win double-digit games, he would have been on his way if not had gotten hurt. Now he's carrying a two-way load, and that's pretty tough. It was unprecedented then in the modern era, and the Angels are just a dumpster fire, Rob. They had the best player in the game at Trout. They can't win anything. They said they weren't going to pitch Ohtani this season when he got hurt. Now they're short of pitching and want to put him back out there. That organization is a mess. Where's the leadership? Where's the plan? Ohtani's an all-star, an outfielder, or a pitcher. But choose one and get the most out of him before the Angels end up with nothing.
Fasten your seatbelt.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Here comes Parker's top three MLB teams this week.
Number three.
The Minnesota Twins. They are in the top three. Yes, they deserve it. Coming into Tuesday, they won 50 games already. They're 50-27 in the AL Central. The Cleveland Indians, everybody thought it was going to be automatic, but the Twins are for real. We're a couple of weeks from the All-Star game. They don't look like they're fading and going anywhere. The Minnesota Twins are the third best team.
Number two.
The New York freaking Yankees. They're the number two team in baseball. You almost wanted to put them as number one considering where they are and that they had a 8-game winning streak snapped Sunday, but they're still rolling. And then on top of that, they've hit in home runs in 27 straight games, which ties the Texas Rangers mark back in 2002, and they're doing all of this, which is amazing, basically without Stanton and without Judge. Stanton hit his first home run Monday night of the year, and the Yankees have 49 wins coming into Tuesday. So the Yankees are getting healthy, getting their players back, but they're the number two team in baseball.
Number one.
And it's hard not to put the Dodgers at the top of the heap. I know it. They got 54 wins. And to tell you how good the Dodgers are, you ready? They swept the Colorado Rockies with three straight walk-off home runs. And all the heroes, they were all rookies. Their guys were not even going to the All-Star game. Are you kidding me? It was Beedy on Friday, Verdugo on Saturday, and Will Smith with the pinch hit three-run jack to send Dodger Stadium into a frenzy. Unbelievable. They're playing the best baseball. There is no argument. The Los Angeles Dodgers are the best team in baseball.
Take out the papers in the trash.
It's time for Trash Talk Twitter. Your chance to trash anyone or anything in Major League Baseball.
This week's winner is River with A. That's right, and he tweeted us this. One hope as a kid is catching foul balls and taking your glove in case a ball is hit towards you. May as well stay home and watch it on TV since every park is putting up these extended fences. Doesn't like it. If you want a chance to win a New Era snapback, send your trash to at Rob Parker FS1 on Twitter.
When Rob was a newspaper columnist, he lived by this motto: if I'm writing, I'm ripping. Let's bring in a writer or broadcaster, old or new.
Let's welcome in baseball analyst Jack Curry from the Yes Network. Jack, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing great, Rob. You and I go all the way back to covering the New Jersey Nets once upon a time back in the NBA, so always good to talk to you.
No doubt about it. But let's talk Yankees, of course, Yes Network, and what you do. Right now, the Yankees are hot. Going into Tuesday night, they had a 27-game home run streak. What has that been like?
It's pretty amazing, Rob, because they have really spread it out. The team that they tied with that historic home run streak, the 2002 Rangers, they really relied on Alex Rodriguez throughout that streak. Meanwhile, when you look at the Yankees' streak, it's Gary Sanchez here, it's Aaron Hicks there, it's Cameron Maybin, who is now on the injured list. He kept the streak alive for three straight games. So up and down this lineup, one thing that the Yankees do is they hit home runs, and they win at their own ballpark a lot of times because they can hit home runs. They've actually won 26 of their last 34 games at Yankee Stadium.
That's which is outrageous. That is outrageous.
You want to have that kind of home field edge, and they they get big boppers. Brian Cashman doesn't try and hide from that. He talks about, we want these big guys who can hit the ball out of the ballpark, and obviously you want hitters who can do other things too, which is why they went out and got a guy like DJ LeMahieu. But yeah, Rob, they have a pretty formidable lineup now that Judge and Stanton are back and that they added Encarnacion.
Well, that was my next question is, they've done all this, and Stanton hit his first home run of the year, and Judge has, what, 5 home runs coming into Tuesday night? So only six home runs from those two mashers, yet the Yankees are in first place.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing. Well, you look at Gleyber Torres at the bottom of the lineup, he's got 18. And you look at what Sanchez has done, he already has 23. And he's actually a guy that I think doesn't get enough credit, Rob, for how much he has turned things around this year. We all see the offensive numbers, and he's been terrific at the plate. But he has bettered his defense and improved his defense. It seemed as if there was a panic throughout New York City last year every time he had a pass ball. He has really tightened things up and deserves to be the American League's All-Star catcher.
No doubt about it. And what about, speaking of the All-Stars, Luke Voit? Could he be the starting first baseman for the American League in the season he's had?
He's had great numbers, and if you want to spread some credit around, you have to give credit to Brian Cashman in his front office, and he has pointed to some of his analytics people who said, this guy Voit, even though a lot of it's at AAA, we like the way his exit velocity is, we like the launch angle, we like what this guy is doing. If you can facilitate a trade to get this guy over there, we think he's a major league hitter. And Rob, since late August when he took over at first base for the Yankees, he's got more homers and more runs batted in than anybody in the American League. And this was a guy who was stuck at AAA with the Cardinals.
Now, here we go with the Yankees. Now, you look around, they got a great bullpen. They hit home runs. They got a lot of stuff going for them. But maybe starting pitching is a situation you'll look at the Yankees and say, there might be one guy short. There was a chance to get Dallas Keuchel, who was still out there, and all the indications were that the Yankees were going to get him, but it didn't happen. Why didn't they get him, and do the Yankees need another pitcher, starting pitcher, to fill out this team?
I'll answer the last part first. Yes, they do need another starter. General manager Brian Cashman is on the record as saying he's in the hunt for pitching. I think it's more about a starter than a reliever. I think their bullpen is set. Rob, they were interested in Keuchel, and they went to a certain level financially, about $11.5 million a year for what was left in this season. And the Braves outbid them, and the Yankees didn't push their offer up any higher. That they went to that level, and I think that's the level that they were comfortable with. And you could say, well, if you needed an arm and you needed a guy to eat some innings, a guy like Keuchel could come in. What's another $1.5 million, $2 million to just get the pitcher and not have to give up any players and just make it a financial move? That's a very valid take. That's a very valid criticism. But I think in the way the Yankees operate these days, Rob, they give everything a value. And when it peaks higher than where they're comfortable going, I think they've shown that they're comfortable walking away. And we saw that in the offseason with Patrick Corbin. I thought they were going to sign Patrick Corbin. I thought a kid from Syracuse would want to pitch for the Yankees. And they were comfortable going to 5-100. He ended up getting 6-140 from the Nationals.
Wow. And last thing, Jack, you wrote a book with David Cone. Tell us about it.
Wrote a book called Full Count, The Education of a Pitcher with David Cone. And Rob, you know the New York scene well. I was always amazed by Coney and the way he acted on the mound. I always thought I saw the wheel spinning. And he was always thinking. He was always plotting. He was always scheming. And since we worked together at Yes, we've gotten to know each other even more, and I approached him and said, let's write a book that gets inside the mind of a pitcher. I think readers would love to know what it's like to be on the mound when you don't have your splitter, you don't have your slider, and conversely, what it's like to be on the mound when you've got 96 in your pocket and you're striking out 19 guys. And David agreed. He said, let's do it, and fortunately, the book came out in mid-May, and we hit the New York Times bestseller list.
His name is Jack Curry. He's a baseball analyst at Yes Network and one of the best guys in the business. Always a pleasure, Jack, man. Thank you so much.
Rob, great catching up with you. Thanks for having me on.
Now bring in the closer.
Strike one.
Strike two.
Strike three.
He's out.
Here's why MLB is better than the NFL or NBA, and it isn't even close.
Batting fifth, number 5, first baseman, Albert Pujols.
This is why baseball is better than the NFL and the NBA. I want you to find another circumstance where a former player returns to his original team and gets the ovation that Albert Pujols got in St. Louis. I got goosebumps. Did you hear that? Remember, Albert left. They didn't trade him away, but they'll never give up what Albert Pujols delivered those championships in St. Louis. It is why baseball is king of the world. I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it. And finally, before we check out, don't forget to catch me and my debut on FS1's Whip Around, the Major League Baseball show. I'll be on tonight, Wednesday night, on FS1, and then again Thursday night on FS1. It's my debut as a baseball analyst. Hope you check us out. In the words of New York TV legend, the late Bill Jorgensen, thanking you for your time this time until next time. Rob Parker, out.
He can't get it. This could be an inside to Parker.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.